to Go Yard with Mama Mac, helping you to hit a home run in life when you feel like striking out.
All right, it's that time of the week, and we love it. Being here every Thursday night at 6.06 p.m., do we not, Dr. Angel?
Oh, we love it for sure. Look forward to it every week.
Every single week, Dr. Angel and me, Mama Mac, and this is our life coaching show. What else do you want to say about this show?
You know, it's helping our listeners hit those home runs in life.
Yes, yes, because there are so many times we run into, you know, foul balls.
Yes.
You know, right? We run into all kinds of things. And, you know, what's interesting about foul ball, you can hit as many foul balls as you want and not strike out, right?
Yes, there you
except go. I won't even get into that baseball thing except for. But generally speaking, in our lives, we can make a lot of mistakes. We can make a lot of poor judgment decisions, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then there comes a time that we begin to learn more about how to make less mistakes,
mm-hmm.
and learn from our mistakes,
mm-hmm.
and learn how to be more successful and hit those home runs in life, hence the term Go Yard, which means hitting a home run. And that's what this show is all about. And we've been doing this almost 5 years. And I got to tell you, Dr. Angel, I love working with you. It just works out very, very well as we talk about these sometimes very tough topics.
Oh, absolutely. And I love working with you. It's just so seamless.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. We've been in this boundaries series for the last 3 weeks, and this is actually part four tonight,
mm-hmm.
of boundaries. And we have actually we've talked about this topic actually throughout the 4.5 years, have we not?
Yes, we have.
Why have we?
Oh, this is a foundational topic. This is one of those things that when we can really grasp boundaries and really learn to apply healthy boundaries, it can help us not have some of those problems that we have.
Exactly. So it's a very important topic. We haven't really done a series on it until now. We did the first year.
Yes, we did.
We
did the first year, and we haven't really opened it up as a new series. So we decided it's time.
It's time
to go back.
So give our audience just a couple ideas or hit the high points maybe of the last 3 weeks, if you will. A little review.
Sure. So when we're talking about boundaries, it's defined. It's a line that marks the limits of an area. It's that dividing line that defines acceptable behavior from unacceptable behavior. And our boundaries really are what define us. They define what's good for us, what's not good for us, and they help us to take responsibility for ourselves.
There you go.
They let the good in, and they keep the bad out.
There you go.
When we have healthy boundaries, and they become really a part of our identity. Some of the examples of boundaries we really talk about, you know, we have boundaries with our bodies, our words, our truth,
right?
Our geographical distance, our choices have boundaries too. You know, that's, we have to take responsibility. We have limits. We can set power limits. And our thoughts are something we have control over, which
absolutely
really impacts so many areas of our life. And then we really talked about the power of the word no.
Right, we did.
And how that's an empowering, and it sets us apart, and it helps us to really be able to set boundaries for ourselves.
So let's just start right there, and this is part four. And mm-hmm. by the way, if you have missed any of this series or any of our other many, many, many series, you can catch them on our Go Yard website, which is www.goyard2014, because that's the year we began, and that's why we're going to have a 5-year anniversary in September, right?
Yes.
So goyard2014.org. It's an ORG website, but we've got them on there with titles, don't we?
Yes, we do. And so, you know, you're going through a difficult situation. We probably have a show for that to give you some great practical tools and advice to help you get through.
Absolutely. Now, here on TanTalkNetwork.com, here at the station, we are so blessed that every one of these shows becomes a podcast.
Yes.
Courtesy of our amazing engineer, Tommy, in there, who gets them up on podcast right away after we do them. And that's really cool. Why? Why is that a good thing?
Well, that's, you know, they can go back and listen to any of those shows. They're
right.
On this site, it's not titled, so it's kind of get what you get, but I think they're all great shows and very helpful. So.
Oh, absolutely. So we encourage you to tell people about Go Yard and and also to listen to some of the old shows, and it'll help you, especially when you're going through a difficult time. Recently, somebody I know pretty well was saying to me, oh, I'm going through this, and it had to do with parenting. And you know, we've got shows on parenting.
Yes.
We've got a whole series.
Yes.
We've got shows on difficult kids and teenagers, and you name it, we've got it out there.
Yes.
So check it out, goyard2014.org. And that's our website, and those have titles on tantalknetwork.com, podcast, go to Go Yard. Those don't have titles, but they have dates.
Yes.
So, with all that said, let's talk about no for a minute before we get into a boundary self-assessment.
Okay, sounds good. So, you know, we really hit hard last week. So if you really missed last week, I encourage you to go back and listen to it. But when we're talking about the word no, we're talking about the ability to say no. It's a complete sentence.
Right.
It does not need a defense behind it or a reason behind it. We should have a power to disagree with something or someone. To say I will not or I choose not to.
Sure.
We should have the power to say it hurts or it's wrong. Like, that's part of that word no. And those are the powers we have that we often aren't using.
And so often when people kind of walk and live in a victim mentality, they have a very hard time saying no.
They don't use their no.
Right.
And then another thing I see a lot of times that limits people from the word no is they feel like it's mean to say no.
Yeah, right.
Or they have to be justified to say no.
They want to be sweet. Yeah.
No justification. And it's not mean. It is protecting, and it's protecting yourself.
Exactly. And one point that came out very strongly last week, which I thought was really good, was setting boundaries has to do with yourself,
yes,
not somebody else.
I'm glad you brought that back up.
Let's go back over that before we go over the boundaries self-assessment. And by the way, if you are not driving down the road and you want to grab a pen and a paper, you may want to jot a few of these down to see if you are having issues with boundaries. But go ahead to that point we just made.
Sure. You know, a lot of times when I start working with clients and we talk about boundaries, they think it's the boundaries I'm putting on other people's behavior so that I can change what they're doing. And that is not at all what boundaries are here.
It's called control, right?
Boundaries are about our behavior,
yes,
and our limits. And so I can be in a relationship with someone who does not have good, healthy boundaries, and I can yet still maintain my own boundaries.
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. Thank you for clarifying that. And we explained that ad nauseum last week, right?
Yes.
Okay, so boundary self-assessment. And all you need to do as you're hearing these is if you don't have time to write down the what we say here, is to mark on a piece of paper whether it's a yes or a no as to whether you fall into these categories. And so at the end, there's several of these.
Mm-hmm.
That'll help you figure out if you really need to do some real hard looking at boundary setting.
Absolutely. It kind of give you an idea of where you're struggling with your boundary setting.
Yes. And we're going to have Dr. Angel explain these as we go. What's the first one?
The first one is I have a difficult time saying no to people.
We just talked about that.
We did. Yeah. And if that's a struggle for you, that is a boundary issue. And that's a great place to start with boundaries.
So that is... If you are keeping track on a piece of paper, you would put a yes there if that's something that is very difficult for you to say no to people. And as we talked about it a lot last week, we won't go into that much more detail on that first one tonight. But this is critical,
yes,
isn't it, to boundary setting? Because it's one of the biggest problems where people fall.
Absolutely is. And
into
it's
this
a
trap.
Foundational element of boundaries.
It is.
So
it is.
That no, and so many people struggle with that word no for so
right.
many reasons.
Yeah,
so
they do.
If that's you, you're not alone. But now you know that's your struggle and you can start doing something about it.
So if you're numbering your paper on number one, you would have a yes if you have difficulty saying no to people. What's number two on
number
our
two
assessment?
Is, I feel as if my happiness is dependent on other people or circumstances outside of me.
I really like this one because I think this is one that most people would not think that that had anything to do with boundary setting.
I hear you.
You know,
absolutely.
It's almost like it's covert. It's under the cover. You know, it's kind of, you know.
It's hidden.
It's hidden. Right.
It,
it's not
it
easy
is.
To recognize this one, but this is one of the most important ones, I think. Go ahead.
I agree with you. It's
Explain
super
it
important.
Again.
And so many times we will let our happiness be dependent on things we have no control over.
Right.
You know, so if your spouse is happy, you're feeling happy that day.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're miserable, you're depressed or miserable too.
Exactly.
And our feelings cannot be dependent on things outside of us. And that's really important.
Okay,
for
what
us.
About the listener who would say, all right, well, my husband comes back home in a very bad mood and it affects my kids, it affects me, and I'm cranky the rest of the night. In that regard, his mood affects his household.
Sure, it can set the tone, but when we have healthy boundaries, we learn to know what's our responsibility and what's not our responsibility. And so if my husband, say, comes home with a bad mood, I would know, was this a part of something I'm responsible for or not? Do I need to make a change or not? And if I don't, it's not my feelings. This is his feelings. I can support that without taking them in myself.
Right. And it may be something at work, or it may be that he didn't like what you're fixing for dinner, or whatever the case may be.
Absolutely.
But I guess in boundary setting, correct me if I'm wrong, Dr. Angel, we need to let people's problems be their problems.
Yes.
Right?
And that's really an important thing. Other people, that's when we know what we're responsible for and what we're not. That's
yes.
why these boundaries are so important. Because when we don't, you know, say our spouse comes home in this bad mood, now we're in this bad mood and we feel like it's our job to make it better for them.
Right.
And that's not our job.
And I go so far as to say this the second one here reminds me so much of just codependent behavior, which we have a whole series on codependent behavior. But you want to define that for our listeners who may not have listened to that? What is a codependent?
And that's just where our value, our feelings are all connected into other people. And so,
right.
But it is a part of codependent, but a lot of people struggle with this that may not fall into that complete codependent thing. But this is definitely something a lot of people struggle with because they're not understanding where my boundary is. So when somebody I love is in a bad mood, first of all, they're wanting to fix it, or they take on the responsibility of that feeling. And
yeah.
So if it isn't something that you had a part of, then there's nothing for you to fix.
Right.
And so we need to learn what's ours to work on and what's not. And then we do not own their feelings. Everyone's entitled to his or her own feelings.
I don't know if this is a good example or not, but we live in a highly trafficked area in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
We live in Clearwater, the beaches, Palm Harbor, Dunedin. This whole area is very busy, especially when snowbirds arrive, right?
Spring break this month,
spring
but
break.
Yes.
And so it's real easy to let traffic get to you big time, right?
Yes.
And then we people honk, they do crazy gestures, they do things. If you're not moving as quick as they think you're... And how can you, like, set a boundary when you're driving in a place like Central Florida?
Well, you know, that actually is a great example because I think it's one that so many people have to deal with. You have to take things in account. So when I'm setting a boundary, I'm taking responsibility for my time, first
okay.
of all. So I know I'm going to have to leave a little earlier to get to my destination so that I'm not taking on all the frustration of traffic and slow cars or whatever's going on
exactly.
on the road. And so you need to take that responsibility of going, yes, I live in a great location with crazy traffic this time of year. And so I need to make changes in my life so that I'm not allowing those things to overtake my emotions.
Again, the boundary is that I plan ahead.
Yes.
And realize that this could be an hour trip instead of a 45-minute trip.
Exactly. Allot yourself that extra time. And
yeah.
then, you know, you're not rushing behind and feeling stressed out from being late. And then when the car in front of you is going a little too slow,
oh, gosh.
You're not taking that frustration into yourself. Because people get really
oh.
emotional
oh.
about traffic.
I had somebody honking at me the other day, but I was not about to pull out in front of four lanes of highway. And, I mean, sitting trying to get out, you know, and then start screaming. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. So that was a personal thing that just happened to me.
But okay. Yeah, it happens all the time here.
All right. Number three, I find myself getting involved with people who hurt me. So let's talk about that.
This is a huge one. This is one I hear a lot because it's something that people fall into. And so what I see is that they get in relationships, friendships, romantic relationships with people who are using them, taking advantage of them, betraying them. They're constantly being hurt by whoever they're in relationship with. And it's usually not just one relationship. It's usually a dynamic that crosses many of them. And they keep staying in those relationships or finding new ones that are the same dynamic.
Same.
Absolutely, because this is a huge sign that your boundaries are probably very non-existent,
okay.
not just weak at this point, because they're not valuing themselves. They're not valuing who they are. They don't feel like they have strengths. Like, it's a low self-esteem thing to continually allow people to hurt you. Because when we have a boundary, I know what my value is, and I can stop somebody from... I'm not going to stay in relationship with this if this is how this relationship is going. But these people don't feel like they can. They feel like the only relationships I have value in are the ones that hurt me because I don't have value.
And as a result of that, you would put a yes, if this is you that you just heard Dr. Angel describe, you would put a yes on your paper, because it's so often, and it's been said many times, you divorce somebody, let's say, who's an alcoholic and you can't live this way any longer, and then you find another one.
Absolutely.
Right on down the road. The statistics are you're going to find someone very similar again and again and again.
Yep,
right?
Just a different name, same dynamics in that person. And it shows that there's, you know, things going on inside of you that you need to work on. You need to take ownership of that so that you do understand what your value is. Maybe you just haven't learned how a person should treat you, what healthy looks like,
because
you've only experienced unhealthy.
Right.
This, if you're struggling here, I would recommend seriously working with a professional counselor, because this is one of those things that it helps to have extra help to work through.
I definitely agree. Okay, number four, what is that?
People take or use my things without asking.
Hmm. That really applies as our kids are growing up and they have fights over, he used my, you know, he's wearing my shirt, or, you know, she's playing with my Xbox.
It happens with kids. I hear it a lot, too, with between kids and parents. I can't tell you the number of parents come in the office, oh, my, you know, my daughter's wearing my shoes, and now I had to wear these shoes today. And, you know, we need to, our possessions are ours. And just like our boundaries extend to us, they extend to our possessions. And so we need to train those people in our world that they need to ask to use
exactly.
our stuff.
Yeah.
And model when we want to use somebody else's stuff that we are asking. And what I see a lot, especially in the parenting dynamic, this one is so big, because the parents kind of just go in and take whatever they want of the kids, and then the kids do it back, and the parents are like, well, they're not respecting me as a parent, but you didn't respect them and their things either. And so this is one of those things we have to model.
Yeah.
So if you don't want your kids just walking in your room, then don't just walk in there. Knock, especially as they're more than, you know, little, and we're helping them with things. As they're getting older, we need to show that same respect to our children.
Oh, yeah.
That we're wanting to, them to give us.
Oh, absolutely. And so often as teenagers get older, they're wearing some of our clothes, et cetera, right?
And if they just learn to ask and they
shoes.
Learn to, you know, and not only just to borrow our stuff and return it, but to return it washed and you know, back in good condition.
Yeah.
This is something like this whole generation is just lost.
No, they don't seem to do this well.
No, they do not. Like, I let someone borrow my weed eater, and it came back, and it was filthy, dirty. All the gas was used up, and it just had grass stuff all in it.
Gosh.
I had to, like, go wash it out.
I'm sorry I forgot to clean that. No, I'm teasing. It wasn't me. It wasn't me.
But and that was adult to an adult. You know, this is something really, we need to take care of other people's possessions.
Yes, absolutely we do. So that is taking care of a boundary. And if you expect that to come back to you clean, do that in return.
Absolutely. And start
so
working
you
with, you know, especially if you have kids at home. Like, start teaching that boundary of other people's possessions.
Okay. What's number five?
This is another biggie. I have difficulty asking for what I want or need.
Okay. Why is that a big one?
Oh, my goodness. I cannot tell you the number of people I have worked with that they expect other people to be able to read their mind. He should just know, or she should just know.
Yes. Spouses, I think, have trouble with this.
This is a big marital issue.
It's a big marital issue a lot.
I see it in friendships. I see
sure.
it in, you
yeah.
know, all kinds of relationships. They should just know. Nobody can read your mind.
Right.
First of all.
Right.
And no, maybe they didn't see that whole sink of dishes that were dirty, like that you needed help with them washing.
Right.
So use your words. This is a big one. Boundary.
Use your words.
I use that phrase a lot.
I know.
That we need to use our words, because if we could just ask for what we want and need, this will stop so many conflicts that we experience, and so much heartache and pain and disappointment.
You got to make it clear sometimes,
especially
to little kids as they're growing up. I hear my daughter-in-law say a lot to my, to my little guys, the little grandsons, use your words. Because that's so important that they learn to ask for what they need, and then they're mm-hmm. told whether or not they can have that at that moment or not. They're not allowed to just take things, you know.
Of course.
Like a snack. If I'm there visiting, they ask for, can I go get a snack? What can I have right now? You know, they've been told. They've been taught that very well.
That's a boundary that they're learning in their home. It's a very good thing. But what I see happen with so many adults is that we stop using our words and we just start expecting people to figure it out, and they should mind read, or they should just know, or if they really love me, they would just blah, 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 blah.
They would
and
be
I'm
fine
like,
with whatever I did.
Have you ever told that person that's what you need? Well, no, they should. Yeah. No. They shouldn't just know. You should just be able to take ownership of what you need.
Exactly.
And what you want, and use your word. So instead of getting offended, your friend hasn't called you in months or weeks or whatever, pick up the phone and call your friend.
Call.
And tell them, hey, I need to hear from you a little more often or whatever.
Yeah.
Use your words.
Amen. That was number 5. I have difficulty asking for what I want or what I need. So if that's a yes, mark it down if you're keeping score. Number 6, these are boundaries, self-assessment issues.
Number 6, I spend my time and energy helping others so much that I don't take care of my own wants and needs.
Oh, boy.
This is another big one that goes into that whole codependent thing.
Sure does.
When we spend our energy doing for others, to that we're neglecting our own stuff.
Right.
This is not healthy, and that means you do not have healthy boundaries.
Right.
Because when we have healthy boundaries, we learn to take care of our stuff before we start taking care of other people.
But there are so many people, Dr. Angel, that are geared towards mm-hmm. needing to be a caregiver mm-hmm. or needing to be the person that gets attention for picking up the slack for the friend mm-hmm. Or needs that thank you, needs that acknowledgement. Oh, you rescued me. Oh, you're amazing. You're wonderful. You know what I mean?
Oh, yes. In fact, they get their identity and their value from helping others. So when they're not helping others, they don't feel like they have worth.
The problem is when they are that type of person, they end up getting resentment, in my opinion.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I know people who are loaning money to other people that they don't have while they are in the process of filing bankruptcy for themselves.
Oh.
That's how far this can go. Or they need to get certain things done for their job, and then they are out, you know, grocery shopping or whatever for other people, and they're not getting their tasks done.
Right.
And then they have all this stress, and it's hurting their work or personal life. They're not taking care of themselves. And boundaries, we learn that we need to take care of our stuff first.
Boundary setting is all about taking care of ourselves.
Yes.
Right? That's
yes.
what we've been saying last week and this
yes.
week. It's not about taking care of the other person. We got to go to break, and we're going to come right back and tell somebody about this show, because it's good.
After a season of night frost and pushbacks, after the heartache of wrong turns and sidetracks, just when they think they got you game, set, match, oh, here comes a comeback. Just cause you laid low, got up slow, unsteady, don't mean you blacked out or bowed out, you're ready. Just when they think there's nothing left, running on empty, here comes a comeback. This is your time, your moment. The fire, the fight, you're golden. You've come so far, keep going.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Prompt professional service is what you will receive when you allow Marcia McAllister of Charles Rittenberg Realty to help find that perfect home or list your home for sale. With over 23 years of experience in the Tampa Bay area, you will enjoy a smooth transaction from start to finish. Call Marcia today at 727-417-0707. Now is a great time to buy or sell a home. Call Marcia McAllister at 727-417-0707.
Tampa Bay's Tan Talk. Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
Great song. Danny Gokey, The Comeback. Why'd you pick that song?
Well, because we can come back at any point.
We heard him do that live.
We did, and yes, it was amazing live. Yes. But I love the message of that song. Like, at any point, you know, we might feel overwhelmed, or you might be sitting here thinking, my gosh, I do not have the boundaries I need, and, you know, and feeling overwhelmed. But you can make that choice right now to make it different and do your comeback.
Absolutely. So if you just joined us, we're glad you have. And this is Go Yard with Dr. Angel and me, Mama Mac. And we're on part four of a boundaries series again. And tonight we're doing a self-assessment. So if you missed the first half of the show, you'll be able to catch it on podcast later tonight, right here, TanTalkNetwork.com. You go to the podcast tab, go down to the little internet symbol. It's internet pros. That's it. And hit that, and it'll open all the names of the shows here at Tan Talk, and you can go to Go Yard and catch what you've missed. Tell a friend about it too. So, all right, we are in part four. We're on number seven,
yes,
of boundaries self-assessment. What is the seventh thing we should look at to see whether or not we have boundary issues?
I tend to stay in relationships that are hurting me. And so that goes back into the one we've already talked about. But when we stay too long in a relationship that continually is causing us pain,
right,
we have a boundary problem.
And I think a lot of people do that out of convenience, or they do it out of obligation, or they do it out of, I don't know what, you know, maybe
guilt.
Guilt, yeah.
Obligation. Yeah, they do it for a lot of reasons, but they stay too long. And a lot of times they're doing it with this thing that, oh, they'll change. I can change them.
Oh, yeah.
We cannot change other people.
No.
You know, that we can only change ourselves.
A lot of people marry dysfunctional people and think, I'll change them. I'll just give them a little bit of time with me. They'll be all right.
No. We cannot change anybody else ever. We can only change ourselves and how we respond to things. And so I remember hearing that quote, when people show you who they are, believe them.
Yes, I love that quote from Maya Angelou.
Love it. We need
so
to live
true.
By it.
And just, yeah, absolutely. Number seven is, I tend to stay in relationships that are hurting me. So if that's a yes for you, that's kind of a red flag that you've got some boundary issues. Did you say it was a huge red flag? I would say that's a huge one, yes. That you've got boundary issues that you need to look at. Number eight.
I would do almost anything to avoid hurting others.
Oh.
So these are the people who don't use the word no.
All right. That's who these people are.
Absolutely. Because they don't want to hurt others. They find themselves going places they don't want to go, doing things they don't want to do. They don't say no, so they don't stand up to their values or what's important to them. And they kind of just get drawn with whomever they're with into whatever.
Right.
So this is a dangerous one, because this can lead us down a slippery slope of all kinds of problems.
Well, it does do that, especially with young people a lot of times, or people kind of going through a change in their life. They're going through divorce, and they're suddenly finding that they can go out a lot and be drunk a lot, or whatever the case may be, and have a different lifestyle than maybe they used to.
Oh, absolutely. I see that a lot with recently separated or divorced people, and now they're living like they were, you know, a teenager who is old enough to drink, and then they're dragging their friends into that who have children and responsibilities, and it's causing them problems.
Yes.
We have to be able to stand up for our values and whatever to protect ourselves, and our focus should be about protecting ourselves, not the fear of hurting others.
Exactly. So number eight was, I would do most anything to avoid hurting others. So that you're going to kind of change your mindset on that and realize that, you know, you've got to make sure that what you're doing to help others is not actually hurting them.
Or yourself. Absolutely. You know, a lot of times people reach out to help people, but they're hurting them. They're enabling things that are not healthy.
Define the word enable, because, Dr. Angel, I think that's a very important word for the age in which we live with so much drug addiction.
It sure is. You know, when I'm enabling you, I'm saving you from the pain of your own consequence. So therefore, you didn't feel that pain, and I'm enabling you to continue making a poor decision because you're not feeling your negative consequence. And especially in boundaries, we talk about pain brings change.
It does.
And when we save people from that pain, there isn't room for them to see the need to change.
Absolutely. I've never bonded anybody out of jail. Never. And I don't think I ever would, you know. But I know people who consistently bond their kids or their grandkids or their lover or somebody out of jail thinking they're doing them a favor.
Yes.
And this is really crossing this boundary, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, when the pain of staying the same is worse than the pain of change, that's when people change.
Okay.
So when we stop the pain of their choices today,
sure. Right.
We are hurting their
process. We're prolonging
it. Yes, we are. We're hurting them from seeing that need to make those changes.
Absolutely.
That they need to make. So we need to stop doing that. It's not love.
So it's setting a boundary when you say, oh, you had one call from jail and you're in jail? Oh, my gosh. What are you going to do about that? No, I'm not coming down and bailing you out.
Sure, or paying someone's bills or
right.
whatever. We're enabling bad choices when
right.
we do those things. So we need to really be careful of what we're doing, that we aren't hurting others or ourselves in that process.
All right, ready for number 9. What is it?
I feel as if my mate or parents or someone other than me is running my life. This is a popular one.
Why is that popular?
So many people...
Not popular in the fact that everybody wants to do it.
They're not wanting...
But they do.
They're doing it.
They're doing it.
You know, they are letting somebody decide their career or who they should marry or who they should be with or how many kids they should have or whatever. It's everything is they're letting their life lay on an altar of somebody else's choices.
I've known so many people through the years that their parent wanted them to follow in dad's footsteps or mom's footsteps with a career that, and maybe it was not their choice.
Mm-hmm.
My own son made a decision to not continue in pre-med, that he did not like it, even though his dad was a doctor and wanted him to. And his dad was good about it, though. His love was for the law, and he's been a successful law professor and loves what he does. But we could have made a huge mistake years ago
sure.
by pushing him to take over the practice, go into, you know, you got to go to medical school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when he went into college, that's what he started in, pre-med, because he thought that's what his dad wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And he thought it would be okay, but he found out that's not what he wanted to do. You know?
And then that's just it. Our life is our journey. It's ours. We own it. And so many times I talk to people who have lived a lot more life and they're getting, you know, up in their years and they're like, I wish I had done that because this
yes.
is what I wanted
yes.
to do. And
right.
they live with the pain of regret because they let someone else make their choice.
Absolutely. And that's, yeah. Wow.
So if that's you, boundary issue. That's a big boundary issue, and it's something that you need to work on.
So if you think other people are running your life, that you need to set a boundary and like,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with where my gut's telling me or what I feel is my desire.
Right, where my passions are or what
right.
my skill set is. Whatever that is, we need to take ownership of that. We make our life choices because we pay our own consequences.
But, you know, back, let's say 100 years ago, it was very common for families to have their kids do what they wanted them to do, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Much more
and there's
common.
Still some cultures that this is
there's
really
still
big
cultures
in.
Like
and,
that, yeah.
But the bottom line is, on our boundaries, we need to take ownership of our lives, and that includes our life choices.
Okay. Number 10, boundary self-assessment. If you're just tuning in, number 10, see if this is you.
Okay.
If so, put a yes by it.
We kind of already hit this one a little bit too.
We did, yeah.
The needs of others seem more important than my needs. And, you know, so think about when we're reaching out, am I reaching out to the deficit of not taking care of my own needs? And so if we're doing that, that's a boundary issue and we need to work on that.
Okay. Number 11, I'm secretly afraid that if I don't do what others ask of me, they will leave or think bad of me. I think number 11 is huge in a lot of people's lives. It's that desire to please.
Mm-hmm.
It's that desire to conform. It's that desire to, oh, yeah, I want to go there. I want to do that. And maybe on the inside you're going, oh, I don't want to go. And at the last minute, I'll be sure and tell them I don't. I can't go.
Yeah, that whole...
The line, really.
That, yeah, that whole people-pleasing and what others think of
yes.
me is, like, so big that they let it guide
yeah.
everything they're doing instead of following what they think is right or their thoughts, purposes, passions, values, whatever it is. They are sitting at at the altar of other people in a different way and what they think of them.
Well, I like the way you worded this. I am secretly afraid that if I don't do what others ask of me, they will leave or think bad of me. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people can put a yes right there.
I agree with you because they're afraid of losing that relationship. They're right. afraid of being alone. Like, that fear of being alone is so huge that people stay way too long in places and relationships they have no business being because they're afraid of losing that relationship
exactly.
and that loneliness that
the
comes
loneliness.
That could come with that. And so if you have that secret fear, you need to work on that secret fear because that's not healthy and that's not a healthy boundary.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Number 12.
I say okay or say nothing when I'd rather not do something for someone because I do not want the confrontation.
Oh, boy. Oh, so many people hate confrontation.
It's
and confrontation, you want to define it? What does that really mean?
You know, it's a confrontation is when we have a different, it's an opportunity for a conflict. There's a different opinion that we have or a different thought that we have than the person in front of us. And so we have a disagreement. And so an opportunity for a confrontation of someone maybe being frustrated, angry, upset, whatever we think they might feel because we think or want to do something different.
Well, and I think that's huge right there for a lot of people. We go through, a lot of people go through life like that. They secretly feel like, I wish you hadn't asked me to do that. I don't want to do it. And then instead, they put on a happy face and go, sure, that's okay. You know, but because they don't want somebody to say, oh, you're a party pooper. You never want to go do anything. You're not fun.
Yes, they're afraid of that confrontation. And, you know, life has confrontations at times.
It does.
And we need
yes.
to be able to, you know who we are and stand up for it. A lot of times I'll see this too where like you're in a group of people and someone is telling, I don't know, a story or jokes that are like totally against what you think or believe is okay. And you just sit there quietly and put up with it because you feel like you have to. This happens in work environments all the time.
It does. It definitely does. And there's times you know that you better just not comment and get into it though. There are times that it's better to stay quiet.
Absolutely, but you can remove yourself from a situation.
But you
do not have to continually.
And you don't have to engage any
yes.
further in that conversation and let whatever the opinion is that you're strongly disagree with.
Yeah, I think I agree with you 100%. And I think this culture is just really, really amped up the fear of confrontation. Like, to think differently from somebody makes you wrong or bad
especially
or whatever.
Politically, Dr. Angel, in this environment politically, it's not really safe to say whether you are this or that anymore because somebody invariably has something pretty harsh
absolutely
to say.
They do.
Or they start quizzing you as about how can you be so stupid, right?
Oh, yes. And so, you know, thinking differently, it's different. It's not wrong and it's okay. And
it's
so
just different.
It's different. And we wouldn't be the country we are if we didn't have different thought processes
yeah.
that got us to where we are. But we cannot sit and not make decisions because we're afraid of the confrontation.
Right. So for the person who has a work environment, let's say, Dr. Angel, and they know that if they speak up or, you know, disagree with somebody in the work environment, it's going to be bad for their future in the company.
Oh, yeah. So
that happens.
Oh, that happens all the time. And I'm going to tell you, I wouldn't be personally, I could not work in a company environment that I didn't feel comfortable or aligned with my own values
right.
because of my boundaries. So, but there, people are willing to sacrifice that for getting ahead in their careers, but they're really sacrificing themselves.
That sucking up thing, you know?
Yeah, it doesn't work
but
for you.
It doesn't in the long run. It
mm-hmm.
may in the short run,
mm-hmm.
but why doesn't it in the long run?
Well, because you feel that sacrifice on yourself and you are selling yourselves out. And so you can't be who you are
right.
or believe what you believe. You have to hide parts. And living like that, it leads to depression and anxiety of being found out. What if they knew I really go to church or I'm really religious? And,
right.
Or what if they knew I really thought this different? And you live in fear constantly.
Right.
That's not a healthy
way. It's no way to live.
You might make the paycheck you want to make, but that's not a great... That's causing you a whole lot of other problems.
Well, don't you think it causes a lot of stress?
Yes.
For the person who's trying to walk that line of being in agreement with the thing the boss says or the way the boss thinks when you really don't feel that way?
Absolutely. You know, and one of the things you can tell if this is where you're at is if you're deathly afraid of, like, your work people meeting your personal people.
Oh,
when you're afraid of...
That's a good litmus test.
It is, because when you're afraid of that crossing, you're not being true to yourself.
No.
And that's not how we should be living.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. Well, because what that says is that this person puts a certain persona on at work and a different one around their friends or a different one around their relatives.
Right, and who we are should be the same no matter where we are. Our values, those things that really guide us, you know, our values, our worth, our all that, that's us. That's who we are. That stays the same no matter where we go. If we're putting on the business suit or hanging out on the beach, who I am on the inside doesn't change.
Right.
And when you are afraid of that cross-group meeting, you're not congruent.
So talk about character a moment. Do you remember that sign that you told me about years ago?
Yes, I sure do.
Do you remember what it said?
Character is what you are when nobody is watching.
That's right. Okay, so often we find that so many people struggle in this area because their values, their character, I guess, is the best word for it, have not been fully developed.
No.
And so they walk around in fear, like you just
said. Yes, they sure do. And they're not acting congruent with themselves. And that causes a lot
congruent.
Of...
Congruent. That's a good word.
Yeah, and that causes lots of internal conflict.
Exactly. Right.
And stress.
So the remedy for this is what, Dr. Angel? Because you can't walk into work and tell your boss off.
No, and we don't, having boundaries doesn't mean we are rude or disrespectful to other people at all.
Okay, why not? Why does it not mean that?
Because that's not healthy.
Okay.
You know, having a boundary is I am excusing myself from something, or I'm quiet when I need to be quiet, or I'm going to remove my, you know, just having a boundary means we have defined limits of what's okay and not okay for ourselves.
Exactly.
And so we do not have to be rude. Oh, you've crossed my boundary. How dare you? I can't talk to you now. Like, people take it to that limit.
Oh,
that's
I
not
know they do.
What it is at
yeah.
all. And so sometimes we do need to start moving ourselves out of unhealthy environments. And that could
right.
mean a work environment. I recently had to move myself out of an unhealthy work environment.
Sure.
It crossed my internal boundaries.
Right. Sure.
And so it happens. So doesn't mean, you know, you just quit or not have income. No, you start working towards a different place.
Right.
But you can make those changes.
Absolutely. All right. Number 13, boundaries, self-assessment. See if you have a yes here or a no. I am distressed when someone disapproves or thinks negatively about me.
That goes back with that people-pleasing attitude. But this goes deep into the feelings of it. So when somebody doesn't accept you or if they think negative of you, you are depressed, you are sad. Like, it really hits you on an emotional level.
Wow.
Yeah. This
take
is,
it personally, right?
They take
you
it
wear
so
your feelings
personally.
On your sleeve, so to speak.
Yes. And you know what? Here's the thing. There's always going to be people who think negatively of us.
Always,
I don't care who you
always.
Are. I don't care what you do. You know, I love that song, Haters Are Gonna Hate, Hate, Hate.
Yeah. It's so good.
There's no such thing. The only thing we can be sure of is that we can, it's easy to make everyone mad.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But we shouldn't be seeking the approval of others.
No.
That who we are should have no bearing on what others think.
We should be able to live true to ourselves.
Yes.
That's what I hear you
and,
saying.
And confident in who I am. Not looking for that approval in others. And so when your feelings are, you feel it in your feelings, when other people do not approve of you or they disapprove of you, that's a boundary issue.
Right. Absolutely. Number 14, if someone criticizes me, I believe their criticisms are true.
This is huge.
Why is this huge?
So many people walk around making these the tapes of who they think they are, of what people have said negatively about them.
Negative.
And it doesn't matter how many times someone tries to say something positive, they believe the negative.
They're conditioned to do that. Why?
Because they really don't know. And I think that's what it boils down to. If I really don't know who I am,
or
I'm going to accept it.
okay, or if I grew up in a household, which I did not, that was very critical, mean, judgmental.
Mm-hmm.
I did not.
That's your normal,
I'm
then.
I'm so glad that I did not. But that's your normal, right? And
yes.
So you just expect people to beat up on you and criticize you. You expect your spouse, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your work colleagues to treat you mean.
And usually how we expect people to treat us
is how they treat us. Why is that, Dr. Angel?
Because it's what we're looking for. That's what we're setting ourselves up for. When we expect bad, we continually look bad for ourselves. We're expecting it to happen. We set ourselves up for it, and we get it. And then it confirms what we're thinking. And here's the thing is we have to expect that people are going to treat us good, and we need to carry ourselves that we're worth it. And if they don't, that's their problem, not mine.
Right. And the word criticism is highly criticized, because there can be constructive criticism.
Yes, and constructive criticism
is
feedback to help us grow.
That's right. And especially in a work setting, a lot of employers or managers or whatever, unit managers, have to give constructive criticism to their employees them, right?
Do it all the time. And I have some people who just can't handle any kind of criticism. They take it too hard. They feel like they're the worst piece of...
They go out crying. Yeah.
And we have to be able to take that feedback to help
right.
us grow and know the difference. And when feedback is to help us grow.
Exactly.
And not take it to heart.
Okay, number 15. I think we're going to get through these.
We are. We're close.
All right. I find it difficult to communicate my true feelings with someone when I am hurt or upset.
That's a big one.
That's so common.
How many? Yes.
When we're hurt or we feel like somebody has slighted us or lied about us or whatever, it's so hard to communicate that to someone and go to them and say, I feel like there's this problem between us because my feelings were hurt.
Absolutely. But instead of doing that, we start acting out and we start taking it out on the people we're around
right.
or getting frustrated or ignoring someone's calls because they hurt us and they should just know that they hurt us or whatever. We need to be able to communicate our feelings. Take ownership of how you feel.
Right.
I felt, betrayed when you shared my secret with someone. I felt, sad when you didn't show up for our coffee date.
Right. And so often we've talked about this through the years, that whole concept of learning to communicate better, that whole thing of when this happened or when you said this, I felt this,
mm-hmm.
right,
mm-hmm.
is a good constructive way to not take it personally, but to really try to feed it back or
mirror
it back.
And it's communicating. Right. And this is a communication that first you're taking ownership of your feelings because you own them. A lot of people go, you made me feel. No. We get to control how we feel.
Right.
So I felt this way when this XYZ happened. And it helps us to really constructively talk about this so that we can work through it and not have it happen again.
Exactly. So for the person who struggles with this, because there's a lot of people that do, what should you tell them to do differently?
They need to start talking about their feelings. First, identify what it is they're feeling, and then be able to put it in words to the person
right.
whom you had the negative experience with, not to 27 others of your best friends
sure.
or on social media or wherever. Take it to the person. Oh, give them the opportunity. Because most time, people have no idea that you're feeling that way.
Exactly. Okay, we've only got a couple more. When someone I love is in trouble, I try to save him or her from it.
We talked about that. That goes in that enabling codependency stuff.
Sure does.
This is really big with people we love. I deal with this a lot on parenting issues. They try to save their kids from feeling the pain of their consequences. And it just goes right back down to we should not and cannot be doing that. We should not ever be someone's savior. That's
right.
not our job.
It can't be. No. And I believe I can change the behaviors of the people in my life.
A lot of people believe they can. I have mental health professionals that come in for supervision. How can I make my client do blah, blah, blah? And I'm like, you can't.
Right.
They have to choose to. We can never, ever, 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 ever change someone else's behaviors.
We cannot. And that's huge. We've got a couple more minutes. Why can we not change them? Because we have such good ideas, Dr. Angel. And we know how if they would just do this, I struggle and have with this for many, many years as a pastor, because you can see that people are getting ready to step in it, you know, mm-hmm. whatever it is. They're getting ready to make a bad decision. They're getting ready to bring a whole lot of heartache on themselves. But you really can't, and let's say, engage you in a conversation. Do you think I should? Blah, blah, blah. That's different. But you can't just go and say, you're getting ready to make a big, bad mistake. Blah, 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 blah. Because people have free will. We have choices, don't we?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's hard to watch someone you love walking into piles that you know are going to cause them pain. But
yeah.
At the end of the day, we each take ownership of our journey. And if they are not asking for help or advice, we have no business giving it to them.
Okay, what's the last one?
I make decisions based on feelings. A lot of people do this in the moment when they're angry, when they're this, they're making these big decisions. Our feelings are temporary. They should never, ever, ever be our decision maker.
Give us an example.
Oh, well, you're angry at your spouse, and then all of a sudden you decide to go get drunk, or you go, I don't know, go on a shopping spree because this happened, you had a bad day at work, or whatever. We can't afford to let our feelings guide our decisions.
Right.
So we need to work through the feelings and make decisions when we're in a sound mind and able to make good, healthy decisions for ourselves.
Exactly. Boy, this is good stuff.
This is good stuff.
Y'all may want to listen to this show again and take this test and see how many yeses you have. If you have a whole lot of yeses, what does that indicate, Dr. Angel?
That means you need to work on boundaries. Absolutely. Right. And, you know, we had 18 questions, and if you had more than 5 yeses, you definitely need to
really work on this.
Get a therapist to help you work on boundaries.
Speaking of that, you are in a new phase of your career.
Sure.
And you are going into private practice.
Yes.
And so that is happening right away. And people can call your number, 727-501-6552.
557, but very good.
Try it again. You say it.
727-501-6557.
It's better that you give it, right? Or I look at it, right? I just see your name on my phone. I don't look at the numbers. So anyway, so they can call you for an appointment, and you can explain to them what you do. And so we have enjoyed. This was part 4 of the series on boundaries, and we got to get out of here. And a final thought?
Final thought, if you saw yourself in those questions, please don't let another day go by. Start working on these boundaries for yourself. You'll be so glad you did.
And we're going to wrap this up next week with part 5 of Boundaries. See you next week. And this has been Go Yard. Who are you?
Dr. Angel.
And I'm Mama Mac. See ya.
Good night.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City Tampa Bay WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.